Right now, time for the opinion page. It's not just what you say, but where, when, how, and to whom you say it. According to Eric Easter, that's the lesson Senator Barack Obama and Jesse Jackson ought to learn from last week's gaffe when Jackson made scathing remarks about the prospective Democratic presidential nominee's speech on absentee fathers. In an op-ed published on ebonyjet.com, Easter wrote that Senator Obama's Father's Day speech made some African Americans worry about the depth of his commitment to black issues and wonder whether he used a black audience to send a coded message to white voters. Today, as Senator Obama prepares to address the NAACP, was Jesse Jackson right? Was Senator Obama's message meant for white listeners? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Eric Easter is editor-in-chief of ebonyjet.com and joins us today from the studios of member station WBEZ in Chicago, Illinois. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you very much.
So, aside from his crude language, for which he's apologized, why do you think Jesse Jackson was right?
Well, I'm not sure that he was right. I think that he just voiced something that a number of people have been saying. And I actually was led to write the article, not based on what he said, but based on what I had been hearing for the last couple of weeks from actually younger activists. I mean, people who have made this to be a generational issue. But in the last couple of weeks, I'd heard much the same thing from other folks who just seemed to have a problem with where they thought Barack Obama was going.
Mm-hmm. And remind us, this goes back to his Father's Day speech on the on the obligations of particularly African-American fathers to their children.
Sure. And you know, it wasn't about the subject matter. I think people, you know, first of all, Barack Obama has given that speech a number of times since he's run. And people have heard that speech, you know, by other people, and we hear it every Sunday in churches. So it's not anything new. It wasn't anything groundbreaking. I think that people thought that the moment was wrong. You have to put it in sort of political context for that particular day. I mean, that was the first black church in Chicago that Barack Obama was speaking at after the Jeremiah Wright incident, after the Father Flegger incident. So people were looking on that day in particular, a number of people, to look to see what he would do on that day to distance himself from that kind of thinking. And I think a lot of activists thought that there were a number of opportunities. You know, it could have been a speech on love for America. Mm-hmm. You know, it could have been a number of things, on patriotism, whatever it is. But that, you know, sacrificing black fathers on that day when you should be honoring them, you know, sent a bad note. But I think it was more indicative of other issues they have with him and not specific to that particular speech.
And that, again, sort of a revival of the argument. Well, Bill Cosby raised some of the same issues. This is, though you're saying, a much more political concern that by saying that, where he said it, to whom he said it, Senator Obama was sending a message.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the fear is that he was trying to play out to another audience and not necessarily the people in the pews. You know, one of the arguments I make that, you know, if the people who really needed to hear that message, you know, were in church, then we probably wouldn't need to hear that message.
The message wouldn't be necessary in the first place, right?
Exactly. But, you know, had he done it the next day somewhere else, I don't think you would have heard the firestorm at all from anybody. I think it really was about place and time and opportunity and, you know, what you could have done with that, you know, with that world stage on that day when everybody was really looking mm-hmm. for him to come out and distance himself from Reverend Wright. There were other opportunities there on that day. But again, I think it's indicative of people really just having a real difference and, a reasonable difference in how to win at this point. And I think that's what the real argument is about, that Jesse Jackson and those who are on the more left side of the Democratic Party, particularly those who are African American activists, and you know, not just African American, but other activists and people who are, you know, very much active in the community and in social programs, have a fundamental problem with this idea that he is moving to a more of a centrist position,
and that whole idea of the post-racial position too.
Exactly. I mean, a number of people just sort of scoff at the post-racial thing, you know, that it never really exists, that you're never beyond race in this country. But, you know, what does, you know, people have a fear of, you know, what does being post-racial, you know, look like to you? What does it look like to me? I think for a lot of black people that, you know, getting beyond race, as a lot of people have said, we do if Barack Obama is elected, that beyond race means one thing. And, you know, to us, it means, you know, barriers are all broken down, you know, no barriers to credit and capital, no barriers to jobs, no barriers to buying a home. And then, but maybe for other people, you know, the who are not black, that the feeling is that, you know, getting beyond race means that my comfort level has increased, that you know, I can criticize without being called a racist, that, you know, I don't have to deal with this race issue anymore. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the barriers will fall.
And the message
that's go ahead. I'm sorry.
And finally, not to be too blunt about it, but the message that he was sending was, though I am an African-American candidate, I will deal sternly with some of these issues.
Right. And I don't think anybody, again, I don't think anyone has a problem with that. I think, you know, as Jesse Jackson said, one of the problems with that is, you know, does that leave out the foundational issues that are still inherent in this country that add to some of the problems? But, you know, I think that particular speech and that particular subject is really slightly tangential to the argument that there are a lot of people who are sitting on the sidelines right now who are usually part of the game. And all of these activists who are generally very active and very well connected to campaigns are not as connected to this one. And it's very much like people, you know, fans sitting in the stands, you know, wanting the quarterback to, you know, to pass the ball so it's a little more exciting. But the quarterback, you know, wants to do a running game, you know, which may come to an ultimate victory, not as an exciting victory.
Right.
But they're just not a part of the strategy. And I think that has a lot to do with the problem as well. They don't have the access to this candidate that they think they should.
We're talking with Eric Easter of EbonyJet.com. He's editor-in-chief there. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And Sharon's on the line. Sharon with us from Stockton, California. Sharon? Sharon's listening to the radio and not to her telephone. We're going to give her just a moment more. Sharon? Sharon, are you there now?
I'm here.
And you have to listen to the telephone, not to the radio. Please turn the radio down and go ahead with your question.
My comment is simply that I totally am an African-American female, and I totally agree with what Senator Obama said. I don't think he was playing to a white audience or not. I think that we need to address some of those issues in our community, and anybody that stands up and talks about the difficult subjects is sometimes met with a barrage of hostility, and I think it's very unfair and very unfounded. More people need to discuss the issue of fatherlessness in the African-American community.
Eric Easter?
Yeah. You know, again, I don't think anyone had a problem with what he said. That was never really an issue. I think that, you know, again, a number of people have been giving that speech for years. It's nothing new to the community. People have heard it. Barack Obama, as a child without a father, you know, has a particular passion about it. He should speak about it. I think the issue really was the timing. You know, what speech could you have given that day that still did distance yourself from Reverend Wright and from Father Flegger? And that kind of, you know, racial animosity and racial division, there were other opportunities other than that speech on that specific day. Again, I think if he had given the speech another day, no problem.
Sharon, I couldn't help but hearing children in the background there. Is this something that's an experience that's alive for you or the people you know?
It is alive for me. My husband and I, who's also an educated physician, we talk about it all the time, but it is alive for many people that I know.
Well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And good luck with those kids. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Mike, and Mike's with us from Westchester in Pennsylvania.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead.
My question to your guest is, what would be the appropriate forum for Senator Obama to discuss these issues if he clearly can't say these, you know, if he can't make these remarks in front of an African-American audience, and surely if he said these comments in front of a white audience, he would probably get just, you know, if not more, criticism. So it seems like he's sort of in a paradox between a rock and a hard place, or, you know, whatever the catchphrase is. So what would your guest say about what the appropriate place to make these remarks would be? And thanks again. I'll take my response off the air.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Sure. You know, I think people, again, are missing the point. They're getting caught in the subject matter. And, I don't think any of Jesse Jackson's comments had anything to do with the subject matter. And that's not really where that came from. You know, again, any place, any day, it just happened to be that particular timing on Father's Day in front of an audience that was looking for him to distance himself from a particular element of the black community. And that's what they're looking at, that you know, he used that particular moment to make that distance. And there were other ways to do that without having to focus on black pathology, particularly on a day when, you know, you generally celebrate what people are doing right. And so really everything was about the timing, the moment, that day. Another day, another town, another place, not a problem.
We're talking with Eric Easter, editor-in-chief of EbonyJet.com. If you'd like to join the conversation, again, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And you're listening to the opinion page on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email we have from Karen in Denver, Colorado. The older generation is hung up with race and seeing him through his skin when he is talking not about skin, but about all of us. If we maintain we are never going to get beyond labels, then we won't. But younger people are no longer playing identity politics. Do you think that this is a generational issue in that respect, Eric Easter?
I think it absolutely is. I think one of the things that the older generation of activists and people in general are going to have to get used to is that This country is absolutely changing. Barack Obama would not have come this far if whites in America were not at a different place on race. He certainly didn't get this far just on the black vote. So, you know, America is changing, you know, as we sit and speak. It's changing right now. And I don't think people are really ready for that. People don't know how to really handle that. And most of these folks have taught their children, have, you know, really kept their children from experiencing some of these things. So, you know, they've dreamed of their children being in a place where we are at least, we're at least through the door, if not where we want to be. But I don't think people were really ready for exactly how they would act and how things would change, you know, once we reach that point. You know, what if your dreams do come true? What happens? It's kind of like hitting a lottery of sorts. You know, I think it's kind
of analogous. Be careful of what you ask for, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
And you've also raised the point that this is, to some degree, moving to the center. Candidates of both parties do that. In Republican parties, people tend to run to the right and then move to the center afterwards, and the Democratic run to the left and then move to the center. Yet it's not just African-American activists who are concerned by what they see as Senator Obama moving towards the center, but anti-war activists, people concerned about his vote on the FISA bill in the Senate.
And if you look at it, it's not as much as a move to the center as people think it is. I think, again, because he's not as known an entity, people have grafted their own perceptions onto him in some sense. So I think people who are hardcore liberals who support him seem to embrace him as a hardcore liberal. But if you really look at the way he's voted over the years, you know, he looks at the left, he looks at the right, and seems to come to some sort of elegant middle. And sometimes it's a little left of center, but at least it's after looking at both sides. And I think that's something to be praised, not to be attacked. But I think those people who perceive that he is more left than he has been in the past are probably upset. But again, I think this is a matter of not whether they want him to win. I think it's about how to win. And so, you know, from Jesse Jackson on, I think these are fans of Barack Obama who are cheering for him, but just have a different perception of how he should be playing the game.
Let's get Joe on the line. Joe with us from Baltimore.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
All right.
I have to tell you, I'm disappointed with the comments that I'm getting from our black press, such as Jet and Ebony, as well as our leaders, such as Jesse Jackson, with regards to the criticism that Obama's receiving regarding, and it's centered on his speech, and, you know, Jesse saying that he's not catering towards the black side. He's not running for black America. He's not running for a black president of the United States. He's running for president of the United States. And in doing so, he can't take one particular stance over another, just like we wouldn't have a Hispanic president be biased towards Hispanics. And, you know, if commentary needs to be discussed, then those things need to be kept one-on-one with Obama. Jesse Jackson has an audience with Obama, I'm sure, anytime he would like. Those things can be addressed one-on-one.
I think that's part of the point of disagreement. I think that a lot of people who have that opinion don't have the access that they think they should. And, you know, every candidate has the right to pick their own people. And I think, again, one of the issues and part of the animosity is probably the wrong word, but part of the discomfort is that a lot of people who would necessarily be a part of this kind of campaign are not as close mm-hmm. as they would like to be. And that's part of their problem, not necessarily Obama's problem, but it's part of their problem that they aren't as close. So they don't necessarily trust strategic moves that they aren't privy to.
Joe,
and that's part of it.
That goes to, you know, it's Obama's running for president of the United States, not of the Black Congressional Caucus, not of Black America. And we as African Americans need to recognize what the brother has to contend with and be supportive of that.
You know,
you look at Al Sharpton.
Joe, I don't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to ask one quick question before we go and appreciate the phone call. And Eric Easter, Senator Obama addresses the NAACP tonight. Do you expect him to address mm-hmm. what you call this firestorm?
I hope he wouldn't, really. I don't think it's necessary. I think one of the things that African-American voters have said, you know, to us a lot of times is that they are interested in a lot more than issues that are directly Black related, that they have as much problems with education and with health care and other things. So I don't see pandering to the crowd and bringing up an issue that is specifically African-American in front of the NAACP is necessary. I think that obviously the NAACP is going to be looking for whether or not he is going to continue support of programs that they've been fighting for over the years. I mean, that's only realistic. But, you know, obviously he's running for president of the United States, and what the liberal wing of the party is going to have to get with is that, you know, if he doesn't win, the question is moot, you know, to quote Jesse Jackson on something else he said on Saturday Night Live. But
Eric Easter, thanks very much for your time today.
Sure.
Eric Easter, editor-in-chief of EbonyJet.com. You can find a link to his editorial at our webpage at npr.org/talk. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.